Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. Jacob Birch, Eric Steven, playoff, another playoff episode. We've gone through two games, and this is, you know, two real playoff games, wild card game, a little funky.
And that was also a playoff game. I just want to reiterate. I know.
Like a common refrain that technically said, it is, but not in real, not in my head, not in spirit.
So I will say I don't even want to call it compelling argument because it's just a dumb technicality. And it's just because teams are in charge of it. It's easier for the teams to do one off rather than MLB. But your regular season credential is enough to get into the wild card
game. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyways.
But I think yeah, for BBWA members, I don't necessarily think it applies for one-off people or like season. I don't know, but yeah, it's weird, but like I will grant that the division series is a higher level of,
and we've had two games of it, and it's really a nice encapsulation of the Dodgers season so far. So we'll break into why, we'll go into both games, look ahead to the two games coming up at Dodger Stadium, and we actually do have questions from Craig. So we've got a lot to pack in a mini episode. We're going to get right to it after this. Pretty sure Logan Webb could have pitched like 13 or 14 innings and still not put up a run.
Well, his pitch count was low enough, and like he could have just kept going. But I don't know. I was trying to figure out what was more impressive. Obviously, he struck out 10. He pitched 7 2/3 innings. He gave up nothing, no runs. But also, he induced 5 different ground balls back to himself. Like, he actually threw one away, which gave the Dodgers one of their best rallies of the night. But,
rallies.
Quote unquote rally. Yeah. But that game was, that did not go as well as the Dodgers would have hoped. And then game two was exactly the opposite. So, just a wild, first two games. Like, that's the thing. Like, the wild card was intense because it's just a one game playoff, and you're just like, oh my god, the season can end today. It's not exactly that, but clearly these are the two best teams in baseball, and you're like, you got to like take advantage of every opportunity. It's still only a 5 game series, and things can switch. But there's a lot, like when you lose game one, it's just like, oh, like I looked at before the series, in best of fives, the Dodgers have played 20 of them. There's a few NLCSs before they switched to 7 games in 1985, and then the rest are division series. But as the Dodgers go in game one, the series goes 17 out of 20 times. So, like, they lost game one. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to lose the series. Just, like, that's how it's sort of gone so far. But they did what they needed to do in terms of getting back into the series by winning game two. But, yeah, I always ask this, did you end up watching both of them live, or like what was your situation?
I watched all of both, yes. I said it last year that the playoff anxiety gets some year break if they ever win the World Series. So now that said, I do the, especially with national announcers, the Beat LA chant really bothers me. It's silly and nonsense. So I did watch some of the game on mute. Not that I was missing that much. But that was only most of game one, and which was easy because it made it easier to ignore.
That game
not
was
fully
weird.
Ignore. I was paying attention, but you know.
The Dodgers trailed from the jump in that one. It was like, it was 2-0 in the first because, with a runner on, Walker Buehler went 3-0 to Posey. Like, it looked totally like he was pitching around him. It was runner on third with 2 outs, I think it was. Same thing the Dodgers had in the top of the inning, but they didn't score on one of those balls hit back to the pitcher. I don't know. It was... then Buehler caught way too much of the plate on the 3-0 pitch, and he gave up the first 3-0 home run of his career. And Posey just tattooed it opposite field. It was a bounce into the ocean, so not technically a splash hit, but it did make it into the water. So they were trailing all night, so it was rough. But So Webb, his big deal was the changeup and the slider. Like, he threw 67 of his 92 pitches were those two, and he got just a ton of swings and misses on him. He, like you mentioned, he struck out 10. I think 9 of them were off those two, finished off with those two pitches. So the sort of the decisions that Roberts has to make, Dave Roberts has to make each game is with the lineup is first base and center field. Against a righty in game one, Matt Beatty, the left-handed batter, started at first. He ended up playing the whole game. 0-for-3 with a strikeout. Bellinger started in center field, 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. Bellinger did have the good wild card game, and he drew the walk before the Taylor home run. But it got to the point, like the Dodgers offense, obviously, they had only scored 3 in the wild card game and then 0 in the first game. So people were asking after game one, not only like when is Chris Taylor starting, but what about Gavin Lux for AJ Pollock, who was slumping to this point and hasn't really done a ton in his playoff career? Obviously, his 2019 was like historically bad. I think, what was it, like 0-for-13 with 11 Ks or something. Last year he was better, but not very good, like just generally. But he's also been excellent, like in the regular season the last 2 years. So, and Roberts specifically said, you know, his body of work, I'm going to stick with him. So that's what he said. And then, so it all, like, it seemed like everything Roberts like showed faith in really came alive in game two. Like, Chris Taylor been slumping since like August 1st. He obviously hit the walk-off home run in the wild card game, which he did not start. He didn't start game one. He did start game two. He doubled in his first at bat and scored. Julio Urias drove him in the first run of the series for the Dodgers to that point. and then the key moment, so it's 2-1 Dodgers into the sixth inning. Kevin Gausman was in, but then once...
And started to look locked in.
Yeah, he had... So there were 2 points in this game where the Dodgers had him early. It was like he was at 37 pitches through two. Not a super high amount, but it was to the point where it was a close game. They actually had Tommy La Stella in the on-deck circle ready to bat for Gausman. It was 2-0 at the time when this happened. There was a man on third with one out, and I think it was Wilmer Flores hit a sacrifice fly, got that run in, so they didn't pinch hit for Gausman, and then he retired the next 9 straight. So it was like, okay, he's cruising at this point. The Dodgers didn't like capitalize fully on that early sort of on the rope stuff, although they did score 2. The other decision was Gabe Kapler walked AJ Pollock intentionally. He was down 2-0 with a runner on second. I can't remember if it was second or third. Maybe it was just second, but with 2 outs. And so they intentionally walked Pollock to bring up Urias, and then Urias made them pay with a single. I mean, you probably make that move like every time, if you're Kapler. So, like, I get it. It just happened to work out for the Dodgers. But so this game, Gausman again, they had a guy, this time it was Mike Yastrzemski in the on-deck circle to pinch hit for him. Would have been the second batter of the bottom of the fifth. But then the first batter made an out, and it's only 2-1 still. So they let Gausman hit, and then he came up, and then first 3 batters of the top of the sixth were Turner, and Smith. Trey Turner doubled. Justin Turner got out, and then Will Smith walked. And then that was the end of the night for Gausman. So there's 2 runners on, and then Chris Taylor walked. And then that brought up Cody Bellinger. You know, we've obviously all the injuries this year. He's sort of also tinkered with his swing, but he's lost power and all this stuff. But I think like every interview about Bellinger the last like 3 weeks since he came back from the rib thing was like, what about his mechanics? What's he doing mechanically and all this stuff? And Roberts, this was Roberts before game 2, quote, "For me, it's not even about the swing mechanics right now. It's about approach and executing a plan and getting him in the zone. For me, I'm looking for guys to use the big part of the field and take good at bats. That's it." And Bellinger did just that off Dominic Leone. He got a fastball, first pitch fastball, and that's like, I know Bellinger when he is going bad. A lot of his stuff is chasing, but also like this year especially, is he's missing a lot of balls in the zone, like just swinging through fastballs and just completely missing like very hittable pitches that he was basically crushing in his MVP year and a lot of other times in his career. But he did not miss this one, and he used a big part of the field. He hit it to the wall in center field. I don't remember if it hit directly off the wall or bounced at the base
like
of the wall.
Like the base of the wall. Like near the yeah. Bottom of it, yeah.
And so that was a double, scored two, made it 4-1. AJ Pollock came up, who at this point in the playoffs, again, it's only 2.5 games to this point, but he was 0-7 with 4 Ks and that an intentional walk. He doubled as well to sort of make it 6-1, and then the Dodgers got breathing room from there. Then they sort of cruised at that point. And I now that I said that, I just remembered Tom Cruise was in the stands last night. So that was fun. It's 1-1, like, you know, the classic. So they lose 4-0, and they win 9-2. So once again, they are underperforming their Pythagorean record. not that they're going to score like 9 runs every game, but that's what they need to do when they need to have like their hitters actually hit. The pitching has been like decent to good. Like Buehler gave up 3 runs in 6 1/3. I mean, that's on the like for him, like that was literally the first time in like 10 postseason starts he gave up more than 2. So like you take that, right? Like most times, like that's a winnable game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like their worst start. I mean, it's obviously only 3 starts to this point. I know Scherzer was pulled earlier, but like I think they're in like a pretty good spot. Like, so we're recording this on the off day Sunday in between the San Francisco games and the LA games. There's 2 games at Dodger Stadium Monday and Tuesday. Monday you get Max Scherzer again, and he's facing old friend Alex Wood, and that means Dave Roberts officially said today that Albert Pujols will start at first base, which is what we expected, getting the start against the lefty. But he also went further and said Chris Taylor is going to be in center and Pollock in left, also pretty much to be expected against the lefty, and that means Bellinger's going to start off on the bench. Jeff Passan, I believe, tweeted this info from ESPN Stats and Info. Game 3 of a best-of-5 series, when it's tied 1-1, the winner of Game 3 in MLB history for best-of-5s have won 39 of the 54 series, 72% of the time. So fairly important Game 3.
Want to note before we moved on too quickly. One is, if anyone was watching the Red Sox Rays game, they were touting a lot MLB recently. Network was the recent win tied of Game 3 was 54%. So that was since 13. So just before our listeners maybe email wondering.
And
why.
I meant to look back because I heard that as well. And I don't know how many series it is. It's not
I didn't see the counts either.
Right. So because you don't know which of those series were, how many of those were tied at 1-1. But like it's only from 2013 to 2020. You're talking about at most 32 series. So 32 division series. So it's probably like, I don't know, like 20 of those were probably tied something close to that. So a reasonable amount. But, like, yeah, it's not insurmountable, obviously. You still have to win 2 games, but it's an important game. But then the interesting thing is Game 4. Both sides are officially TBD for the starter, but it's basically Anthony DeSclafani for the Giants. And then the Dodgers is, like, Tony Gonsolin for some portion of the game and then a lot of the bullpen, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what that some portion is, just yes. Because, you know, that was the plan, Game 6 of the World Series last year, and it wasn't very much, and it ended up working, and the Dodgers have employed a lot of successful true bullpen games this year, and it'll be interesting to see what variables go into, like, how short of a leash Gonsolin goes. Obviously, if he's cruising, no reason to bring him out whenever the bulk actually starts. But
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see if, like, they just, like they did last year, just one inning, whatever. That's it. We're going.
So the good part, I guess, for the Dodgers standpoint is Trinan and Jansen had not pitched the last 3 or 4 days since the wild card game. And so you would imagine they're available for both game 3 and 4, and especially for Trinan, I would say at least one of the games he's probably a multi-inning guy, or at least like a 4 or 5 out guy. Now the other thing is, if they're up 2-1, they pulled Julio Urias after 5 innings and 72 pitches. It was a 6-1 game when they pulled him. But part of the reason Dave Roberts did say he'd be alive in the latter part of the series. So I think if they're up 2-1, not necessarily Urias closing it out, maybe depending on the score, but you could see a situation where they probably do an opener. This is probably the David Price role, in game 4. And then Tony Gonsolin comes in. He probably gets 3 innings or something like that. And then the key point will be like what you do if you have a lead. If you have a lead after 5, do you go like Urias 6 and 7, or just decide it's Urias? Or maybe it's Trinan first, and then lefty Urias, and then Jansen, and you just figure out how much of those last 12 outs split up. Like, maybe it's something like that, but, like, obviously getting ahead of ourselves here.
And it'll be a lot of, just in general, the Giants do a lot of platooning, a lot of aggressive switches, and there's going to be, especially with Urias, another lefty in the pen, there's going to be a lot of trickery and tomfoolery, I imagine. So it'll be fun to watch if, you know, the Dodgers win. That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be great if they just won the next 2 and didn't have to go to San Francisco and, like, you know, all that sort of stuff. But, it'll be interesting. And then, obviously, same deal. Like, if they don't use Urias in game 4 and let's say it's tied, you would imagine he's for sure available in game 5 in some capacity for multiple innings. And that way it would be he'd actually be on 4 days rest. Bueller would be starting in game 5, I'm assuming. It'd be interesting.
We can talk about that they're going to win the next 2 games.
That's right. And our next, we'll be previewing some series. I can almost guarantee you our next podcast I can't guarantee you because they could lose. We have to acknowledge that possibility. But I was going to say we'll be previewing a Dodgers road game because even though they'd have the better record, they'd start the NLCS on the road. So it's either previewing game 5 or previewing games 1 and 2 of the NLCS. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Back to the Dodgers this year in the playoffs. Justin Turner, he homered in the wild card game. That was his only hit so far in the first 3 games. I think he's 1 for 13. But that was his 13th career postseason home run. That extended his own Dodgers record. Turner also leads in Dodgers postseason history in games with 75, plate appearances, 327, hits with 80, 41 runs, 19 doubles, 42 RBIs, and, of course, 11 times hit by a pitch because Turner also leads the Dodgers history in hit by pitches. Turner also leads with 33 extra base hits. 19 doubles, 13 homers, 1 triple. My question for you, Jacob, is what Dodger is second all-time in postseason extra base hits?
I'll answer that after this. To stall and get me a little more time to figure out who got second in extra base hits, I have one roster question for you that I want to pick your brain up. I texted you on during game 1 that I thought it made sense to prioritize Bellinger's defense, especially with a flyball pitcher like Walker. But in game 2, they still got Bellinger in there, but at first, where he's still a very good defensive first baseman, but I still thought it was strange.
Not a fan. I'm not a fan of that movie.
Now, granted, he went and proved everyone wrong and got the biggest hit of the game. Haha. But it still seems strange to me that maybe Beatty, but like honestly, I realize it was a short span, and I think David Roberts even had a comment on, you know, he's not going to go off too much of two bodies of work, but that Gavin Lux has looked really well really good late to end the season. And I don't know what the defensive alignment would be like if the he was just in there. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's not an ideal situation because I think Beatty is your best choice if you're just going for who's the best hitter.
Yeah.
But like you're talking about two, maybe three at bats because they're gonna definitely like double switch or do stuff in that that kind of a thing. But also Beatty can play first. I don't think they would want him to play any other position like defensively. Now, I don't think they're that high on Lux defensively. I agree. The broken ribs thing for Bellinger caught them. He's obviously fast, but he's still like green in the outfield. So the issue is like it sucks because you could do like you could ask Chris Taylor to play first. Amazingly, hasn't played first. Wait, maybe he's played. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me. But like you could ask him to play first. You could ask Justin Turner to play first, but it's like. Then you're putting like multiple people out of position because third base is like Taylor's probably like least familiar position, although he's played it enough. Taylor has never played first. He's started at six different positions for the Dodgers, never first. So that's tough. You know, it's the same thing for like, do you put like Lux at third is a while, like you can't really do that. And then you're still asking Turner to play first, which is like, you're messing around with like multiple positions at that point. And so, yeah, I think the only way Lux plays is if it's like, okay, we want to rest Pollock's hamstring. And it would have to be like against a righty and you would have to probably assume Taylor's also not starting. And then they would just go Bellinger in center and Lux in left, you know, at least to start the game. But yeah, like it's not ideal. What they have set up now, like now facing a lefty tomorrow, they'll have Pujols, and they'll still do the double switching. Situation. Maybe that's a situation. Like, yeah, I just don't know. It's tough to say like exactly how that's going to play out.
Yeah, no, that's what I figured. Wanted to pick your brain on it. All right.
Yeah,
I stalled long enough. I'm gonna play. All right, I have one guess, and then I'm gonna play like.
Yeah,
four questions or something. My first guess is Andre Ethier.
Ethier is he's tied for 11th.
Wow,
with 12 extra base hits.
All right, so here I'm going to fourth. I'm going to four questions. Is it an active Major League Baseball player?
Yes.
Is it an active Dodger?
Yes.
All right, that helps. Is it Corey Seager?
It is 21. 11 homers, eight were last year, 9 doubles and a triple. The reason I was thinking extra base hits for this because Chris Taylor's double in game 2 was his 10th career double, which is second to Turner's 19 in Dodgers history. But
that makes me happy. I just let you know, I wrote some names down and I picked this question in particular. I had Ethier at the top, just, you know, gut, and I was wrong. And then I had randomly, probably just because I just got done watching the Red Sox games, Kike's name was on there, Garvey's name was on there, and then Sieg's. Obviously, I'm prioritizing more recent players. Garvey was the it's not an active player anymore wild card. I needed
so that name to throw. Garvey's tied for fourth with 18 with Taylor and Bellinger. Now, Duke Snider is third with 19. So they're a bunch of Jock is seventh with 17. And then Muncy's 14, Yasiel Puig's 14, and then Ron Say is 10th with 13. So it's like a mix of a lot of the current run because they played so many games a lot of the 70s.
Where's Kike?
He's actually tied for 13th with 11. Okay. 8 of those were home runs, 3 doubles.
Okay.
So
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm stuff. Content. All right. It's time for
Questions from Craig. We love them.
5 questions and we're gonna blitz through these.
Yep.
Here are some trivia questions about the Dodger leaders in National League Division Series play, which means Jacob era all time. Woo! Woo! Can Eric name the top 3 stolen base leaders for the Dodgers in the NLDS?
So, top 3. Damn it. I didn't see the top 3 part of this. So, you know, Maury Wills, I'm pretty sure, is their all-time stolen base leader in the playoffs, but never played in the division series. So I'm going to go – it's top three. So let's go Bellinger.
Number one.
Okay. This is going to be a weird one. Because I don't necessarily think it's accurate. I don't know.
Number one is five, by the way. I'll give you a little context clues here.
Number three is five?
And no, Cody Bellinger is first with five stolen bases.
Oh, with five. Okay. So I actually am going to say Justin Turner.
Number two with four.
Oh, he is. Okay. So I knew he had five total steals. I didn't know what the
breakdown was. Sure.
Okay. So now it's probably, I'm assuming someone with three, possibly someone with four. Wow.
Someone with three, I'll let you know. And then a bunch of people have two below that.
I'm just going to go Yasiel Puig.
Puig is one of the many people with two. Now, he did have three attempts, but he got caught stealing.
You know, I knew that.
And I'll let you know, he is the only person on this list with a caught stealing.
Wow. All right.
All right, I'm going to give you one more shot.
Oh, okay. Then I guess I will guess. You know what? It was only 1981, and it was only one series, but I'm going to say Davey Lopes just to say Davey Lopes.
Kike Hernandez.
Ah, nice.
He got there on the list. Yeah. Let's see. The Dodgers have four players with 10 or more walks in their NLDS career. Please list them.
Okay, so just going through the thing. Justin Turner.
Number one with 15.
So I'm trying to think now. Man. What about Hanley Ramirez?
Not on my list.
Okay, what about Manny Ramirez? And I have the top 12.
Not on my list, and I have the top 12.
Okay, so I was thinking 08, 09, he may have just, he was walked so much, like, that's where my head was at. But okay, so let's go, Max Muncy.
Number two with 14. So two other players.
Bellinger?
Bellinger's number seven, or I guess tied for fifth with nine.
Uh-huh. Okay. Division series. Let's go Jock.
Eighth all by himself with eight.
Ethier.
Third with 11. So you're missing one player who has exactly 10.
Matt Kemp.
Not on the list. Give you one more shot.
All right. Corey Seager?
Yasiel Puig.
Nice. Okay.
Seager in the group with nine, by the way. Only one Dodger, only one, has more than one triple in his NLDS career. Who is this former Dodger?
I'm only going to guess once on this, and I'm just going to say Yasiel Puig. I don't know.
You got it.
Okay.
Well done. Nice. If we had more time, I would try to make you guess everyone who had a triple. Steve Garvey's on this list. Alex Cora is on this list. And Hanley made an appearance. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. Can Eric name the six Dodger pitchers who have allowed three or more stolen bases in their NLDS career?
Kenley?
No. My goodness, is this a list or what?
Randy Wolf.
No.
That would be amazing. NLDS. Derek Lowe.
No. Sorry. This is a collection of names. One current Dodger. I'll let you know.
Kershaw.
Nope. Good guess.
Chad Billingsley.
Not a current. Not that you couldn't say that otherwise, but.
Right.
In your heart, he is. No.
Okay. Walker Buehler.
Is on the list. He three. So two. Okay. One player gave up five. One player gave up four. And then there's a four with three.
See, I don't even. No, they didn't make the playoffs from there. I was thinking of someone else.
Give you two more strikes. How about that? Two more wrong guesses.
Kenta Maeda.
There's one. You only got one left. That was wrong. Okay, sorry. That was a strike. I didn't say that clearly.
Yep. Let's go. Let's just say Zach Greinke.
Nope. All right. So you got one. With five stolen bases and two caught stealing, Antonio Osuna.
Nice.
With
oh my
four
God.
Stolen Blazes allowed, Hideo Nomo. Nice. And then the group of three, you've got Walker Buehler, and then it's Jonathan Broxton.
Of course.
Rich Hill.
Nice.
And Kevin Tapani.
Oh my God. Okay. Tapani had to be like 1 year, right? Because I think he was a deadline guy.
See if I can figure it out.
I would say 96.
It was 95. And then, okay. Yeah.
Wow, Reggie Sanders and them and Dion. Oh, Dion was on that team, I think, too.
Yeah. So
that's hilarious.
That was fun. I like it. That last one especially. That was, yeah, what a potpourri collection. Game 3 at Dodger Stadium will be Max Scherzer's 9th career NLDS start. What are your expectations for him after his last two regular season games and his wild card starts? Also, do you think it is possible Austin Barnes make a start in this series?
No.
I wonder if Max Muncy was in this lineup, if they'd be willing to take the hit to get him one game in, maybe. But when they're this...
Right.
The bottom of the lineup already looks a little rough.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and just to be clear, Dave Roberts was asked today. He did say Will Smith would start game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're, you know, obviously. They do tend to go to Barnes on, like, bullpen-type games, just generally. So I think if he's going to start, it's going to be game 4. I don't think he's necessarily going to start. Because, like, this is the series with the off days, right? So they don't play more than 2 days in a row. So I think in a LCS or World Series, well, look, in the World Series, Barnes ends up starting all the time anyway. So, like, in one way or another, it'll come to that. No, I don't. But, like, I just think it's more likely for him to get a start in one of those middle three games because it's 3 days in a row. Not a given. Like, I think you also at that time could be like, you know what? We're good with playing Will Smith 3 days in a row because he's Will Smith and he's one of our best hitters. But yeah, this series, I don't think Barnes starts. But if he does, it would probably be game 4. As for Scherzer, the concern is he's just a little off, like command-wise. He's I don't know what the right term is. He's like yanking pitches. Is that like he's just a little like off. He's worked with like the pitching like. Group coaching staff and you know R&D folks like figuring out stuff in his delivery, so you know I he was kind of a little bit off in the wild card game, but he still like managed to gut through and only gave up the run, so I suspect he's still going to be quite effective even if he's a little not quite there yet delivery wise, but also have a lot of confidence in him. I think game 3 is an excellent shot for the Dodgers to win. And a lot of it is on, you know, the pitching matchup with Scherzer and Wood.
Yep. Same page. He's still a battler. Has a lot of experience against these hitters, like have a lot of confidence. Hopefully we get regular Alex Wood and not freak playoff Alex Wood. That would be great. But we'll see. There has been some online chatter, tweets, and game thread comments about the graphics and information, velocity, location, etc., on TBS's divisional series broadcast. Have you missed that information? I believe Eric saw it on the feed he had at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I want to address the last part first. That was a joke tweet, reply tweet to Mike Petriello, because he mentioned the little box wasn't on the live broadcast, and this was for the wild card game, and I replied to him. I said it's weird because the box is here in real life. I have no idea how it's suspended in midair like that. You know, clearly messing around with him, but like it's off and on. It's been. I personally would love the broadcast without it. Like I don't. I totally fine with showing like the pitch velocities and stuff. But yeah, I think it just. Every broadcast devolves into, oh, this umpire is a piece of crap, you know, like every pitch, and like, you know, doing away with that would be wonderful. So like, I'm okay with broadcasts that don't have the box. I think it's been off and on because TBS did have it quite a bit for games 1 and 2 for the Dodgers and Giants. But I think what happens is sometimes when it's not live, it ends up still showing up on replays, but it's been on live like quite a bit, like during the series. So it's been like off and on, but like generally, like, yeah, I could do without it, but like, I know, I figure I'm in the minority on that probably. But yeah, like it's not like that big of a deal.
My biggest ask is that on replays, I want the 3D version of it just because flat, you don't get some of the pitches that are moving, just nicking the zone, and it'll either get you a, sometimes you get a false negative where it looks like with the ball, but if you actually look at it in 3D, it wasn't. So
yeah, that's my only one. Especially like the horizontal movement ones where it's like sweeping right to left or left to right. Like those tend to like sort of nick the a little bit. But yeah, you're right. 3D is the way to go. I'm not sure like if that's, TBS tends to stick with the one that like I think even like Sportsnet LA uses, where they do the, you know, they show the ball flight, but it's like the, like looks like game day, and then it just a minute the screen flips, and then you see from the catcher's point of view with like the freeze frame of where the ball is, but that's not the 3D. But that's about as close as you're going to get, I think, on that. But yeah, that's sort of where it's at.
For the contest, will Kenley Jansen get 2-1 or no saves in the next two games at Dodger Stadium?
So I think he's going to get one save.
That's what I was going to say, because you can't get a save in a 8-run win.
Actually, that was my logic. My logic, one game's going to be out of range, and then my dream obviously is a 3-inning save to close out a playoff series. But I figure that's too much of an ask for the play. I got it in game 162. I'm a happy man, so like I'm okay.
Look, there's nothing you can wear, eat, or drink that affects the outcome of a playoff game. Saying
liar.
That, has there ever been a time when you did eat something specific during the postseason? I remember one postseason in the Lakers 2000 to 2002 run when I ate Chinese food for important games. So I have Craig to blame for my Pacers losing in 2000. Have either of you done anything like that?
I was trying to think of this. I don't think eating... I've definitely done like the shirt, you know, like same shirt or something like that, or like a, I'm just trying to think, like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, like food wise.
So not superstition why, but you, one, like you mentioned, I'll try to wear either something blue. Usually I have quite a few things in that colors, partly because I like the color, partly because of the Dodgers. It helped growing up that it was also the Colts color, more or less, so I could kind of earmark those things. But food-wise, again, not superstition. I don't do this because of that, but for an atmospheric point of view, not big games is what I would say. Like game ones a lot of the time. Hot dogs are in the equation. And again, that's just to have that baseball spirit, especially in this era where this was the first year I, in theory, could have gone to a baseball game, and did not. So missing a lot of that feeling and that atmosphere, and hot dogs are certainly one way to bring a little bit of it to home.
Yeah, absolutely. Hot dogs are a great, like if you're home, if you're there or home for opening day, like make some hot dogs at home. Or if I'm at home, I will usually go the extra mile and do like a sausage, but like same family.
Sure.
So that, I think that's probably what I associate most with baseball. But yeah, that's kind of it for our little quickie episode. We will see you in a few days, maybe possibly a little bit more than that. But we'll be talking about the Dodgers next game, next series, next season. Who knows? But we'll be talking to you soon. And thanks for listening.